It's a wonderful privilege for me to have the opportunity to speak at this time of celebration of the life and ministry of John Stott. So let me start by using a short prayer that he himself often used at the start of his sermons. Lord, take my words and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lives and live through them for the greater glory of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the third of four sermons celebrating the great biblical themes that energized and motivated John Stott's teaching ministry for all his life. We've looked at first, exalting the word of God through preaching, then second, proclaiming the gospel of God through evangelism. Now, third, this morning, we're looking at equipping the people of God for ministry. And finally, later this evening, our theme will be strengthening the church of God for mission. So the first sermon looked at Stott's passion for the Bible. The second sermon was on his passion for the gospel and for evangelism. But now third, there is his passion for lay people and his commitment to lay ministries. Chris Wright has said that of the four themes that Stott was passionate about, the things that preoccupied his teaching and writing, it's this third theme that has been the most neglected and ignored. And I think he's absolutely right. Yes, we all know that John Stott preached the Bible and was a great evangelist. But did you know that he was also absolutely passionate and focused on the central importance of the work and service of ordinary, quotes, lay people? That means people like you and me, who don't have a theological qualification, who aren't employed by an ecclesiastical organization. It was people like us that he spent so much time with and whose work and ministry he passionately believed in. As David Turner said last week, John Stott was a radical. Yes, he was, quotes, conservative about holding on to scripture and to the doctrines of the orthodox historic Christian faith, but he was radical about everything else, especially about the application of Christian truth to the contemporary world. Radical means cutting to the roots. It comes from the Latin radix, of the roots, getting rid of everything that is superficial, non-essential. Radical means risk-taking, challenging conventional thinking and practice, upsetting settled ways and power structures. And that was Stott. And for me, as a young medical student coming to London from a small town, provincial background, and with a genuine Christian faith but confused and uncertain about my place in the world, Stott's vision and teaching was bracing and exhilarating. Like going for a walk on a cliff edge and suddenly seeing wonderful new vistas and possibilities. So let's turn to our passage in Ephesians chapter 4. Paul is writing about body life, how the body of Christ should function, how it should maintain its unity. Look at verses 3 and 4. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and so on. But Paul goes on, although we are one body, we have many different giftings and many different roles within the bond of unity. Christ himself has given us different giftings. And so we turn to verse 11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service. So within the body of Christ, some individuals have been given special gifts. The apostles and prophets are the foundational teachers of the church. We find their writings in the scriptures. And in the church, Christ calls some individuals to be evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And I thank God for the people here at All Souls who've been called to be evangelists, pastors, and teachers. But what are they for, these people? Why has Christ given them these particular gifts and callings? What is their role? And here is the verse I want to focus on. Verse 12. Their role is to equip his people for works of service. The literal Greek says, equip the saints for the work, ergon, of diakonia, ministry or service. I think that many people might think that Paul should have said, the evangelists, pastors, and shepherds were called to do the ministry. They are there to serve God. I mean, that's what they're being paid for, isn't it? To serve God. But that isn't what Paul says. Look again at verse 12. They are to equip the saints. That's you and me, ordinary lay people, for the work of ministry. So you and I are to be equipped for hard work, the hard work of service. Diakonia in Greek means either ministry or service. It's the same thing. Ministry is service for Christ. But in particular, diakonia implies menial, humble, low-grade, back-breaking, low-profile, often unnoticed service. So where is the real ministry team here at All Souls? Is it Steve and Johnny and Rico and Melinda and the others? Well, no, it isn't. We thank God for them. But if we want to be biblical, they are not the real ministry team. They are not the focus of what this church is all about. No, it's us, sisters and brothers. All of us who don't have a theological qualification to our names. All of us who aren't employed by an ecclesiastical organization. That's what Paul is teaching. They, the pastors, teachers, evangelists, are there to equip us. And we thank God for them. But we are here to do the really important stuff. The hard work of ministry or service for God out there in London and across the world. And please note, this does not only mean evangelizing in our workplace. It means that the very work we're called to do in all our different spheres is ministry. It's service for Christ. When you really get your head around this way of thinking, it's radical, it's revolutionary. But this is how John Stott saw his own teaching ministry. His passion was to help us be the people Christ had called us to be. And this is why he spent so much time encouraging, teaching, equipping, and envisioning ordinary lay people. But his goal was not to persuade them to become preachers or evangelists like him. Quite the reverse. He encouraged most of us to stay in the profession or vocation or calling that we have found ourselves in, but to see it as a means of ministry, of service for Christ. And so for David Turner, it was the legal ministry. For me and for many others, it was to focus on our medical and scientific ministries. For others, it was artistic, creative ministries, or business and financial ministries, or caring for people, caring for creation, educational ministries, bringing up families. It's all Christian ministry. And it's all central to the gospel, to the good news. Let me quote John Stott's own words. We do a great disservice to the church whenever we refer to the pastorate as the ministry. We give the impression that we think the pastorate is the only ministry there is. And Stott went on, I repented of this decades ago and invite my readers to join me in penitence today. If somebody says in my presence nowadays that so-and-so is going into the ministry, I try to look innocent and respond, oh, really? Which ministry do you mean? I heard him say this on many occasions. When some bright young thing came up to him and said they were thinking of going into the ministry, he would raise his eyebrows and say, oh, really? And which ministry are you talking about? Is it the agricultural ministry, perhaps? Or the educational ministry? Or the scientific ministry? Oh, I see, you're talking about the pastoral ministry. Well, why don't you say so? And the reason that Stott was so passionate about this issue was because he knew the importance of all forms of service for Christ. That's why he spent so much time encouraging and equipping Christians to serve Christ wherever they've been called. We are called to be salt and light, and that means we have to penetrate into every area of society, into every workplace, every profession, every nook and cranny of this wonderfully complex and confusing world. So that's why John Stott played a key role in the formation of Arosha, focusing on Christian involvement in the care of creation, on Tear Fund, focusing on developing authentically Christian international relief and development, on the London Institute for Contemporary Christianity, engaging in the modern world and equipping Christians in the workplace and so on. We're going to have a short break now, and then in the second part of this sermon, I'm going to be looking forward to the future. We've been celebrating the radical, challenging thought of John Stott, but the question is, what about us? How does this affect our thinking of how we're being called to serve Christ today in 2021? This is the second part of a sermon celebrating the life and ministry of John Stott called Equipping for Ministry. In the first part, we were looking at the passage in Ephesians chapter 4, and in particular at verses 11 and 12. Christ gave grace gifts so that some people should be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. But the purpose of these giftings is to equip the saints. That's you and me, ordinary lay Christian people, for the hard work of service out there in the world. I remember that when I was a medical student, I was so impressed and influenced by the example of John Stott that I started wondering whether I should give up medicine and become a preacher like him. I remember that I discussed it with him, but rather to my surprise, instead of saying, "Oh yes, excellent, of course, you should copy me, get ordained, start preaching and evangelizing like me." Instead, after listening to me share my confusions and questions, he said gently something like, "I can't help wondering whether Christ has called you to the world of medicine, and your calling is to stay in the place where Christ has put you and give your life to serve Christ in medicine." And looking back all those years, I'm so grateful for John Stott's wisdom and insight, because now, more than 40 years later, I can see that he was absolutely right. This has been Christ's calling on my life, and Christ has opened up wonderful doors and opportunities for me to be a witness for him in the secular world of healthcare at UCL just down the road and elsewhere. So I've had the privilege of being the hands of Christ, to be the presence of Christ with dying babies and grieving parents and in agonizing life and death decisions. And the truth is, if I had become a preacher, if I'd taken on the pastoral ministry, I would have had none of those wonderful and painful opportunities for ministry, for service to Christ. Because John Stott really believed in the role of Christians in the world, he spent so much time encouraging and equipping us to serve Christ wherever we'd been called. He encouraged us to penetrate into every area of society, into every workplace, every profession. Because we're the salt of the world, and salt can only work as a preservative if it penetrates throughout the entire joint of meat. And it's not surprising that during his life, John Stott met a lot of criticism from other evangelical leaders who thought that he'd lost the plot. Not everyone in the evangelical world supported his strange radical ideas of encouraging lay people, of engaging in secular ethical issues like nuclear disarmament and abortion and unemployment. Some people accused him of going soft on the gospel, of becoming, quote, worldly, of being infected by the social gospel. Why doesn't he just stick to preaching and evangelizing? But John Stott remained absolutely committed to his radical vision of lay people being the ones who did the work of ministry in the world, because he was biblical, because he saw that this was the truth that Christ had taught right from the beginning, and this was the way that the authentic body of believers had behaved right from the earliest days of the Christian church. So how did those early believers behave? They had heard Jesus say in John, in the Gospel of John, "As the Father sent me, so now I am sending you." They had listened to Paul and the other apostles equipping them for service in the world. So what did they actually do? Well, I'll tell you what they did. They did exactly what Christ had told them to do. They went out into the world and followed Jesus' example. They cared for leprosy victims. They fed people who were starving. They visited and cared for prisoners and torture victims. They rescued the babies of pagan people who had been abandoned on rubbish heaps. They set up orphanages and hospitals. And when pandemic plague swept through the towns and cities, when the elite doctors and politicians and leaders fled for the hills, what did those followers of Jesus of Nazareth do? Well, the contemporaneous historical records tell us exactly what they did. They stayed in the midst of the pandemic. They cared for their pagan neighbors. They brought them into their own houses. They washed their wounds. They cleaned up the blood and diarrhea. And the ancient record says, listen to this, they were ministering to them in Christ. Those ordinary lay people were doing the work of ministry, exactly what Paul has said, even though they knew that they were exposing themselves to extreme risk. And many of them died. They sacrificed their lives. They became infected and died because of their ministry. The ancient world had never seen anything like that. Rodney Stark, who's a social historian, concluded that the way that the Christians acted at the times of plague were one of the most important factors in the explosive growth of the Christian church in this period. Remember that. It wasn't the evangelists, the professional evangelists. It was the way that the lay people acted in time of plague. And do you know how the good news about Jesus spread across the known world in the first 3 centuries? Well, it wasn't primarily through professional church planters and evangelists like Paul and the apostles. No, the gospel spread down the commercial trade routes. It was ordinary lay men and women who gossiped the gospel, who carried out their ministries, the work of service, in all their occupations, as traders and fishermen and carers and teachers and apothecaries. And over the succeeding centuries, Christian carers have continued to behave in the same way, especially during the tragic history of epidemics, from the Cyprian plague in 250 AD right up to the Ebola epidemic and now the terrible coronavirus pandemic that we're still living through. And here in London and across the UK and across the world, many, many Christian health professionals and emergency workers have been serving Christ, carrying out their ministries, doing the work of humble service as ambassadors for Christ. And tragically, we know that some of those health professionals, some of those Christians have sacrificed their own lives out of service for Christ. But what's it all for? What is the purpose of all this work and caring and costly sacrificial ministry? Let's turn back to our passage in Ephesians chapter 4. And it's there, verse 12 again. To equip his people for works of service, why? So that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith, and then at the end of verse 13, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. It's all about Jesus. We glorify God when we live as we were supposed to live, with all our diverse gifts and callings and experiences. We serve so that he may be glorified, that we might decrease and that he might increase. We serve so that the world will see Jesus in all his glory and beauty and power. I want to conclude with a challenge. How are we going to respond here and now in 2021 to the radical but totally biblical vision that motivated John Stott? We saw at the beginning how many Christian people pay lip service to John Stott's greatness, but actually they neglect much of what he taught and modeled. 40 years after Stott talked about the centrality of lay ministry, you know, in some ways the evangelical church seems to be going backwards. And how is All Souls Church here and now going to respond as we look to the future? Are we going to fall back into what is sometimes called clericalism? The idea that Christian ministry is all about maintaining Christian institutions, about religious activities, about organizing worship services and sermons and training courses. Yes, all these things are vitally important, but if you want to be biblical, then the real work of Christian ministry is not there. The real ministry team is us, sisters and brothers. The ordinary Joes and Joannas who haven't been to theological college. And the real work of ministry that is waiting for us is out there, in our workplaces and offices and clinics and homes. We are the salt of the earth, the light of the world, and we're called to penetrate into all the nooks and crannies of our society, the dark places, the hurting places, the places of decay and hostility and putrefaction and confusion. And if we want to do the work of ministry, if we want to point to Christ, then that's where we belong.